Welcome to this podcast by The Rocks Church. We hope you find it challenging and inspiring. For more information, visit therocks.church.
My name is John, and I'm one of the staff here. And if you were wondering what that was all about, I just want to let you know that here at The Rocks, we value fun. We actually take fun really seriously here. But even more than that, we believe in the power of leveraging culture, leveraging what the media has already been putting out there, and making that a relevant topic for us here in church as well. So that's why we sang a Meghan Trainor song here at The Rocks for that reason. And the other reason as well is because we are at the tail end of our series called Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. And this has been such a fun series, such a great series, where we're talking about what it looks like to live in a relationship that is really honoring of who God is and who God has called us to be. And so if you were here the past 3 weeks, you would have heard Chloe and Pastor D really do a fantastic job at explaining what this looks like in a great context. But I have the privilege here today of speaking about a slightly different topic, and that's the topic of singleness. And not to brag, but I have a lot of experience in this area. So I'm going to kind of bring a little bit of my wisdom, a little bit of my experience into this morning's message, and I'm praying that God's going to speak to every single one of us here today. But before I jump into my message, I just want to say, hey, if you're new here to The Rocks, that there are three things that we make sure we say every single Sunday, and we make sure not to miss this because we want to make sure that you know what's happening, that you feel included, and that you can be part of the family. So the first thing we say is no perfect people allowed. That's our slogan, and Pastor Daniel put that so eloquently already a little bit earlier. The second thing we like to say is that we have a new guest lounge for you, and we would love for you to come and join us after the gathering for a little chat and to learn more about what The Rocks is all about. But the third thing that we say every single week without fail is that I, John Atkinson, is single and ready to mingle. I am the single Canadian pastor, and in one way or another, my relationship status seems to be posted publicly on this day. No, I hear a few no's coming out there, but through the glory and through the privilege of YouTube, we are actually able to go back in history and collate said examples. So if you would join me in watching the screens, we have a little bit of evidence. Would you join me and pay attention?
Who doesn't want to see John dressing up as Ranger John and Captain Canada and P.T. Barnum? That's been brilliant. And hey, for any single ladies out there, P.T. Barnum is currently single. So, you know, if you want me to hook you up, just come see me at the end of the gathering.
He can't get any girlfriend in that car. As long as he drives that car, he's never going to get married. So somebody help him.
There's still singles and available if any one of you know of anybody.
He did not find a Valentine on Valentine's Day. So, ladies, I'm just saying that ship has not yet sailed.
Still interested?
Ladies in this place, if you like a man who can rock a kilt, come see me after the gathering. I'll hook you up.
It did not put John into debt, right? But it couldn't get him any girls, though. So we do have to do something about that.
Maybe half an hour of idle snooping. Imagine what I could do with a dedicated 4 or 5 hours in this space. But before we get any further, I think we should pray, don't you think? I think this is a great point of our gathering where we should just give our attention to God and we should just ask God to guide us. Heavenly Father, Lord, guard our hearts this morning. Lord, give us the wisdom, give us just the knowledge to hear your words above all else, Father. Lord, I pray that you speak through me here this morning, that you speak into every single person's situation here today. And Lord, I pray that breakthrough will happen. We declare breakthrough in your name. And everyone say it together with me. Amen, amen. And so, yes, today I am talking on the topic of singleness. And to be honest, for some reason, I don't know exactly where it started. You know, I'm not exactly sure when this all kind of became a thing. But this whole idea of singleness kind of has a bad rap. You know, when you think about singleness, it doesn't even kind of strike a little bit of excitement. It doesn't kind of seem like an appealing stage of life to be in. And we joke about it and we laugh about it. But as soon as I started preparing for this message here this morning, I actually began to unravel, and God revolutionized the way that I was thinking about singleness. And actually, God has a lot to say about this topic, and I'm really excited to see some of the areas in which actually singleness is not necessarily and will not always be a bad season. In fact, it's not a bad season. And that's why I'm calling my message here today, Singleness, Not Wilderness. Now, you might be imagining and saying to yourself here today, come on, John, like, this series is clearly called Love, Dates, and Heartbreaks. Like, this is about that period or that time after you're single. You know, like, I'm not really interested in that single period. I want to know how to get out of that single phase. I want to know what it looks like to be married, to be in a relationship, to get past this point of singleness. I have problems in my marriage now, you might be saying to yourself. But can I suggest to you that maybe, just maybe, that you don't actually have a marriage problem. You may be having a singleness problem. So you may be saying, oh, but I have a girlfriend, I have a boyfriend, John, but I just can't get them to church. You know, it's John, I don't struggle with, you know, finding someone. We can't manage money properly in our marriage. John, help me with those things. And what I might say to you here today is that actually you might not have a marriage problem. What you might have is a singleness problem. And every single week, we've been saying that this series is fantastic. It's perfect for every single person, every single walk of life. If you're single, if you're married, if you're divorced, you're de facto, if it's complicated, whatever it is, we've been saying that this Love, Dates, and Heartbreak series is perfect for you. And I believe that that's true also for this message here today. Yes, I'm talking about singleness, but I believe that the Word of God and the way that God's going to work through this message is that it's going to speak to you in your marriage relationships as well, in your dating relationships, wherever you are. It doesn't matter what your relationship status is. I believe that God's going to speak to you exactly where you're at. Let me tell you why. Because oftentimes we pray for our relationships to work. We hope that our relationships will work, but we do more maintenance and healing than we do in preparation in our relationships. We do more maintenance than we do healing, and then we do actual preparation for our marriage. And that's our goal kind of in presenting this series to you. That's my goal. That's my hope here today, this morning, is that actually we're going to do a little bit of preparation so that we are ready for that next season. If you're single here today, we're going to focus a lot about what that looks like to be prepared. But also if you're in a marriage relationship or a dating relationship, we're going to look like also what it looks like to continue to build a firm foundation in your relationships. And as you begin to read the Word of God, you begin to understand that actually the institution of church and the reason why we have the Bible in the first place is actually God wants us to win at relationships. That God really cares for us and cares for our relationships. And actually a huge and a massive theme in the Bible and in the institution of this church is actually to be victorious, to be a place where we can win at our relationships. But you see, that's not going to happen without a little bit of effort. That's not going to happen with a little bit of preparation. And the thing is that God didn't create marriage right off the bat. You know, what's really interesting is that if you go back into Genesis, the very first thing that God created was Adam, was a single person, was the individual. God didn't create marriage right off the bat. And there's going to be a little bit that we talk about here this morning that maybe will help explain that a little bit further. But you see, the thing is, in most people's mind, though, kind of in the culture, the way that that we see this world is that marriage and relationships are something that we're always chasing after, that we always want to attain. You know, we see it with our kids. We give them Barbie and Ken dolls. You know, you see The Bachelor on TV. There's so many things out there that are just calling people into relationships. And we see the picture of marriage, and we look at the image of marriage, and it's something that we crave in our body, in our soul, in our mind. But actually, we're not ready for that next step yet. But we see the culture presenting these ideas of what relationships could look like, and we see things that actually we shouldn't be, that we're not ready to get into just yet. You know, this is so true in a church context as well. If you're 25, if you're 30, if you're 35, and you're single, and you walk through those front doors, I can guarantee you that at some point here this Sunday, here today, someone will make some sort of comment about your relationship status. I can guarantee that you've had a family event or multiple family events. I've had a dollar for every time someone told me that their mother or their grandma put them on the spot, you know, when at a family gathering about when they're going to have the next boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, we so often joke about these things, and we talk about these things, but in one way or the other, when we say these things, we say stuff that allows people to believe that somehow in their singleness, in our singleness, in your singleness, that you may not be enough. That we say somehow with our words that in your state, in your relationship status, if you're not seeing someone, if you're not dating, if you're not married, you are somehow not enough. Like if you're not married, you're not enough. And let me just say, God knows the desires of your heart. God knows exactly what you want and what you crave and what you dream and what you pray about. And if that's something that you desire one day, then I know that God wants that for you as well. But I want to be real with you this morning and let you know that singleness may be the most important time of your life. Your singleness, the time where it's just you and just God, may be the most important time of your life. But so often we look into the future and we jump into something that we know nothing about. And the statistics don't lie. It's so sad and so unfortunate, but the McCrindle says in Australia that 33% of marriages end in divorce. And the thing is, kind of a metaphor for what this might look like is that if you were to take three planes, one from here to Sydney, Sydney to Bali to Perth, the chances are that one of those planes would not make it. One of those planes would crash. And yet so many of us jump into relationships so haphazardly, not knowing what it's going to take to keep that plane in the air. You know, God designed marriage for us. It's meant to be good. In fact, it can be good. And for a lot of us, it is good. In fact, great, fantastic. But the thing is that it's an important covenant. In fact, it's the second most covenant that God has given us. The first most important covenant is the covenant that we have between him and us. But the second most important covenant is a covenant that's made when you jump into marriage. But it shouldn't be something that we rush into without first fully knowing what that season might look like for you. In other words, we shouldn't rush into marriage with first preparing ourselves, and a big part of that is preparing in our singleness. But most of us are so sick of our singleness, and we think marriage will solve our loneliness problem. So many of us think that, you know, I'm lonely, and I know what's best for me. I need to jump into a relationship. I need to get into a marriage. But the thing is, marriage should never be something that is a byproduct of what you run away from. It should never be something that happens because you're running away from something. Marriage should be intentional. Relationships should be intentional because that's the way that God has designed it for you. And that's the way that you're going to get the most out of those relationships. But the thing is, so many of us are scared and we're afraid that we're going to be alone for the rest of our lives. We're scared that we're going to be lonely for the rest of our lives. But the thing is, what that means is that you're sick of you. That means you're sick of who you are in your own time. And then you try to find someone who maybe is similar to you, and so you find someone else who's also sick of themselves in their alone time. And so then both of you who are sick of your own self are coming together and joining in a relationship. A lot of people are going to become a whole lot of sick. That's what I'm going to say. That if you can't stand being by yourself, you can't stand who God has created you to be, then getting into a relationship with someone else who also feels that same way is not going to help anything. In fact, it's only going to magnify the problem. Because when you get into marriage, there are certain responsibilities that you will have as a husband. There are certain responsibilities that you will have as a wife. And you can no longer just say, oh, why does that person always spend my money? Because you know what? It's no longer your money, is it? It's your money. And when you get frustrated at him or her because he's spending your money, that's truly revealing kind of the core issues that are happening underneath. And that's why it says in Genesis, this is why man leaves his father and mother and he's united to his wife. And they become what? They become one. But you're mad that you have to share your money with that person. But you're now one with them. But the thing is, you didn't take time to figure you out single, and that person also didn't take time to figure them out single. Therefore, when you come together, these problems get magnified. Your singleness, your loneliness, those things that you run away from, they don't go away. If anything, they just get bigger. And then the reason why you didn't know how to manage your money properly in the first place is because you didn't know you properly in your singleness. And that's why I believe so strongly that God outlines exactly what it takes to have a successful relationship, exactly what it takes to have a successful marriage. It takes selflessness, it takes honor, it takes forgiveness, it takes love, just like Jesus first loved us. It takes a lot of work, but the thing is, it also takes a lot of self-awareness. So naturally, your next question might be, well, John, like, okay, I get all of that, and I understand what you're saying, and like, I'm on par so far. But so how do I know when I'm ready then? How do I know when I'm ready to jump into a relationship? How do I know when I'm ready to get married? How do I know when the time is right? And kind of let you know that I believe that the Bible has all of the answers that you'll ever need. I believe that God has gifted us this amazing book, and there are so many amazing truths and revelations that you can find in this book. And in fact, for this specific question, I believe that God hasn't just given us answers, but he's given us a formula. And I love formulas. I love it because it's so simple, so easy to follow. But you may be thinking to yourself, oh, I didn't know that God had a formula. I didn't see any maths in the Bible. But the thing is, God does give us a formula. And it comes from Matthew 22. This is what it says. They were asking Jesus, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Now, this was the expected answer. This was something that was like, true, like, that's a pretty obvious, like, totally get it, Jesus, like, that's a good answer, like, good answer, like, yeah, good one. But I kind of saw that one coming. But the second one was something that was a little bit more unexpected. In verse 39, it says, a second is equally important. So it actually could have said, this is 1A and 1B. This not 1 and 2, because oftentimes when we think 1 and 2, we think they're different and that they're not equally as important. But actually it says, as equally important. He's saying they're putting them on the same level. It's the same level as loving your God, loving God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind. Second to that is loving your who? Your neighbor. But the thing is, there's a prerequisite to loving your neighbor, and I think you missed it. You love your neighbor as yourself. So the prerequisite to loving your neighbor is the degree to which you love yourself first. And so that's why there's a formula in this place. Like, God has set things up for you to win in a relationship, but there's a type of formula that God has put in place, because the degree on which you love yourself first will be the degree in which you're able to love others around you. Love God, love yourself, then love others. They're all equally important. I'm not saying one is more important than the other. But God has placed certain priorities in our life so that we can know how to live in the best way possible. And so what God is saying is love God first, and that will always be number one. But secondly is actually loving yourself as well in the second place. And from that place of fullness and a place of knowing exactly who God has created you to be, loving your design, loving your DNA, loving who God has placed and destined for your life, loving that person will be the place in which you can then love others in that same way. Husband and wives, this maybe kind of puts you in an interesting situation, maybe thinking to yourself, how does that apply to me? Like, am I supposed to be selfish in my marriages? Am I supposed to then put myself first in my marriage? Well, I'm not talking about that. And love is not selfish. But actually, this is talking about identity. This is talking about purpose, loving who God has called you to be first. This is not saying, if there's only one piece of cake, like, you eat it first. I'm not talking about that kind of love. I'm saying that you respect and you honor and you are selfless in the way that you love, but you also understand and you love the way God has called you and created you to be first. And from that place, then you can also love people abundantly as well. Because if you would allow God during your singleness to mold your character, to mold your intelligence, to mold your security and your emotional health that it takes to be in a real relationship, I promise you that God will allow the right persons to come across your path. Now, I said persons for a reason. It wasn't a stutter. It wasn't a misword. But I believe that it's actually persons, because God doesn't make you do anything. God doesn't say, like, you're going to have to do this one way and my way. And the reason why I believe that is because even more important than marriage is our salvation, is our relationship with God. And if God won't make you be saved, it says in John 3:16, whoever believes in him, whoever, meaning you have that choice, you have that option. I mean, God's not going to make you have a relationship with him. I also don't believe that God's going to force you to marry someone else as well. Now, if you're here for the first time today and you haven't heard the gospel message, kind of just let you know that our God loves you so much. Our God sees you here in this moment right now and has such a heart for who you are right now in this moment. You don't have to do anything else. You don't have to do anything different. God actually loves you perfectly right now in this moment. He loves you so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. But this is the thing, it's a choice. This is a relationship, and this relationship has a choice. And in the same way with our relationships in this world, we also have a choice. But guess what? That other person has a choice as well. That other person can choose you as well. So all the more important that you become someone that someone else can choose. And that's why I'm trying to emphasize so much that your state of singleness is so important, not just to you, but also to God. Because he wants to give you vision for your life. He wants to give you purpose for your life. He wants to give you a calling, a specific, unique, individual calling for your life. But if you are so eager to move past this state of singleness, to move past this point of being comfortable with who you are in your own state, you're going to miss all of that. And God doesn't want that for you. God has so much more in plan for you. And guess what? You can reach purpose in your state of singleness. You can find your calling in your state of singleness. Jesus did it. Paul did it. And trust me, I know that one day you probably want to get married. And if that's you, God sees that. And I know that you probably didn't enjoy spending Valentine's Day alone last week. And I totally get that. But what if? what if this season that you are in right now, in this moment, in your state of singleness, is for a reason? It's for a purpose, and it's for a greater calling than just your comfort. It's actually to find out who you are called to be in this faith, in this atmosphere of faith. Because I believe this kind of self-love is a choice. And you might be asking yourself, well, what do you mean it's a choice? What do you mean love is a choice? How do I choose to love myself that way? Love is an emotion. Well, actually, like Pastor Daniel said last week, love is more than an emotion. It's actually a choice. It's a decision that we can make every single day. That's why it says in Matthew 22, the verse that we read earlier, when they asked Jesus, which is the most important commandment? When you're able to command something, that's a choice. And it's the answer to that was to love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Those are choices that you have. And if you were here the past couple of weeks, you would have heard Pastor D and Chloe do an absolutely fantastic way opening up what it looks like to love. What is the definition of love? And they did a great job expanding that. And you know, a big point of this whole series was 1 Corinthians. And 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 says this: love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. But here's the thing. Like we said earlier, there's a priority in which we are called to love. You know, and so often we've been talking about this definition of love, but how to love others in that way. But let me ask you a really confronting question. When was the last time you loved yourself in this way? When was the last time that you loved yourself in the ways of 1 Corinthians? Because I believe the more patient that you are with yourself, the more patient you will start to become with the people around you. I believe the more patient you are, or the more kind you are with yourself, the more kind you will start to begin with everyone else around you. The less proud you are in your own situation, the less envious you will be to the people around you. You know, the more you are not keeping counts of rights and wrongs with yourself, the less that you will keep rights and wrongs with other people as well. The more that you protect your own heart and guard your own heart, the more that you will guard the heart of others and protective of other people as well. The more truthful you are with yourselves, the more truthful you'll become with everyone around you. Because the thing is, hurt people, but I believe that the opposite is also true, that loved people love people. And if we're able to understand this version of love, if we're able to allow the way that Jesus loved us, but also love ourselves in that same way, I believe there'll be breakthrough in your relationships, there'll be breakthrough in your singleness, there'll be breakthrough in all the relationships in your life. But this is the thing, the more you love yourself, the more you'll begin to see that love in others as well. That's what God wants you to do. What I want you to realize through all this is that if you're not married here today, and that includes if you're engaged, if you're dating, you know, singleness covers all spectrums unless you are married. But what I want you to realize is that there's absolutely nothing wrong with the season that God has placed you in this moment. If you're single here today, I want to let you know there's absolutely nothing wrong with this time of your life where you don't have someone else to look after. I believe that God has placed you in this time for a purpose and for a reason. But I believe that what Jesus is trying to say is that equal to loving God is also important to love yourself, to love the person who God has created you to be. Because the issue in our society, the issue in our marriages isn't a marriage problem, it's a singleness problem. So how much more so if you can prepare who you are ahead of time? And that's why it's okay to be single, but it's not okay to be alone. It's okay to be single, but it's not okay to be alone. Now that might seem like a technicality, that might seem just like a sleight of words, but let me expand this a little bit. You know, oftentimes when we say, oh, I'm single, or that person's single, automatically in our mind, we kind of connect dots and we say, oh, well, if they're single, then they're probably also alone. And by default, what I mean by alone, I mean lonely. So if you're single, everyone's thinking that actually you're probably also lonely. The thing is, lonely is defined as this: sad because one has no friends or company, without companions or solidarity. So this is what most people think. We quote Genesis and we say, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And the thing is, we say this to people who are single and we start to feel sad for them. Oh, you know, you're single, therefore you're alone. Therefore you're lonely. But actually, if we look at the Hebrew word for alone, this is what it actually means. All in one. This means that God looked at man and he said, actually, it's not good that man is all in one. So what did he do? He took the woman out of him and created Eve, man with a womb, a woman. And therefore, the man was no longer all in one. And I couldn't agree more with this. As people, as humans, we need accountability. We need someone that can care for us and call the best out of us. We need someone who can journey through this life together. We need that kind of relationship. We shouldn't be all in one. Those things are especially crucial in a Christian walk. But this is the thing. Alone is not the same thing as single. Single, by definition, is unique. It is separate. It is original. It is distinct. It is whole. God wants you to be in a season of singleness where you don't have to be responsible for anyone else, where you are whole, where you are everything that God wants you to be. And you are special, you are unique, you are different, because that's who God has called you to be. What I'm here to tell you is that the more single you become, the better your relationships will be. The more single, the more individual, the more distinct, the more separate, the more whole you become as a person, the better your relationships in the future will be. So if you're single and you're interested in being married one day, the best thing I can say to you is just be single. Just be these words. Be separate. Be distinct. Be whole. Because God has given you that purpose. God has given you that creative element in your life that is not the same as anyone else. And this is a time where you can find that identity more than any other time in your life. I love what it says in Luke 16. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If you're single here today, can I encourage you to live your singleness in a way that actually you are already getting what God has, that you're praying to God for. Let me say that again. If you're single, live like you already have what God has given you. If you're in a place where you don't have a relationship, where you're not married at the moment, live as if God's going to do that in your situation and live in that same way. Find your wholeness, find your uniqueness, find your purpose, find your calling so that you can be trusted with that in your singleness. Because when you're given more, when God gives you that person who will come by one day, then you'll be able to be trusted with that purpose, with that vision for your life in the same way when you're married. Because this is the thing. When that day comes, when that person who you've been praying for walks into your life, you will know at the bottom of your heart, you will know without a shadow of a doubt that God is going to bless that relationship, that he's going to honor that relationship, because you have done everything right in your circumstance to find out how your singleness is unique to you and how you can be confident in your own identity, just you. But can I say to you right now that if you're single in this room, that there's nothing wrong with you, that you're not broken, that you're not out of date, that you're not destined for loneliness, that actually this is a really great opportunity, a great season where God's gonna speak to you and you're gonna know him in the most unique way of your life. This season only lasts once. You're only single once. And so make the most of this time and allow God to continue to refine you and mold you and shape you into the person that God wants you to be, because once that other person comes, that next other person who's whole as well and comes together and you are both separate, unique individuals but have a same purpose and same vision in our God, you'll become unstoppable in your marriage. And if you're in a relationship, or maybe you're married here today, maybe today is an opportunity, maybe today is a chance for you to find out your singleness in a whole new way. And maybe you never thought that, you know, singleness was important for you anymore because you're married. But can I suggest to you and repeat again that actually maybe your marriage problems aren't marriage problems, they're singleness problems. And so there's a priority in which we can love ourselves. We put God first and always. But then we love ourselves. We love who God created us to be. We become secure in our own identity, not a selfish kind of love, but a love that is secure with who we are called to be. And from that place, we will then be able to love the people around us in a better and bigger way. that those problems in your marriage will start to dissipate, will start to leave as soon as you understand who God has created you to be, and you're okay with who God created you to be, and you're at peace with that. Right now, we're gonna sing a song together to close our time. And you know, this is a really kind of powerful song, and I chose this song because I really love the lyrics that come up in this. And the lyrics are gonna be on the screen behind me. I just wanna read it for you. It says, I've been strong and I've been broken within a moment. I've been faithful and I've been reckless at every bend. I've held everything together and watched it shatter. I've stood tall and I have crumbled in the same breath. And maybe this describes your singleness right now. Maybe this describes your marriage right now. That in the same breath that everything stands strong and tall, is the same time, maybe the same day that everything seems to crumble. And you're in a roller coaster of emotions. You're in a roller coaster of ups and downs in your maybe singleness or your marriage life. But can I let you know that the name of this song is called As You Find Me. And actually, God loves you exactly as you are in this moment, but God loves you too much to leave you that way. And this is what it says in the next verses. It says, somehow this kind of love is who you are. It's a grace I could never add up to be somebody you still want. But somehow you love me just as you find me. Our God loves you. Our God sees you in your state of singleness, in your marriage, in your relationships. God sees you right now and he loves you. And what I want us all to do now is to sing these lyrics, because I believe that the power of words is so important in our lives. The declaration of these truths over our situation is so powerful. And I don't want us just to say these words because the song is familiar. I don't want us just to go through the motions. I don't actually want you to sing if you don't mean these words. But I want you, in a few moments, to embody what these lyrics mean for your situation. And as soon as you do that, I truly believe that breakthrough will happen in your circumstance, that breakthrough will happen in your life, that you will see your relationships in an entirely brand new way.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more great resources and to keep yourself up to date, head to our website. Visit therocks.church.